Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Our order of service begins in the bulletin. We're going to open right now with hymn number 705, Oh That the Lord Would Guide My Ways. It's 462 in the Red Book. Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful. I have disobeyed you, and justly deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for the evil I have thought, spoken, and done. And for the sake of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us.
You before God who searches the heart, do you confess your sins of thought, word, and deed? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness? And with the Holy Spirit's help, do you want to correct your sinful life? Then declare so by saying yes.
Yes.
Upon this confession, I, as a called servant of the Word, announce to you God's grace and the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our epistle reading for this sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 13 to 25, where Paul talks about how, well, through faith we have freedom to live in Christ, but not in sin. Paul wrote, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Alleluia. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. This reading follows the thought of the Old Testament reading, which we'll be looking at today, but it talks about following Jesus, the sacrifices to follow Jesus, but of course, really, there are no sacrifices to follow Jesus. Yes, there are hardships in this life, but think of the blessings we have in Jesus. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into the Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "First, let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Let's sing our next hymn, hymn number 705, 462 in the Red Book. Oh, excuse me, it's 694, 465 in the Red Book. "Jesus, I my cross have taken."
All I've ever hoped or known. keep me. You are not like them untrue. And since you have smiled upon me, God of wisdom, love, and might, foes may hate and friends may shun me. Show your faith and all is bright. Go then, earthly fame and treasure, come disaster, scorn and pain. In your service pain is pleasure, with your favor loss is gain. I have called you Abba Father, you my all in all shall be. Storms may howl and clouds may gather, all must work for good to me. Haste my soul from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. All but heaven is transitory, God's own hand shall guide you there. Soon shall end this earthly story, swift shall pass the pilgrim days. Hope soon change to heavenly glory, faith to sight and prayer to praise.
The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider today, as I mentioned, is our Old Testament reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 to 21, where Elijah replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come back. Then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow believers in Christ and servants of our Savior, you've probably all seen those work crews on the side of the road or even blocking lanes of traffic where they're good group of people, but there's only a couple people who are working. Maybe even just one that's working. Or maybe they're all just standing around. But there are supervisors and they're all talking about the things that need to be done, maybe. And then there are those people who are there with their shovels and they're leaning on their shovels to make sure that those shovels don't end up falling down. My son always likes it when he drives through Indiana because there's road construction there all the time and he never sees anybody working. Well, if you were in charge of a group where there was just one or a couple who were working and others who were standing around, I'm sure you'd want all the workers to work to stop goofing off. We'd be quick to note that if all the workers were working, then the job would get done faster, of course. Well, let's apply this situation to our Christian lives. Are we like the supervisors, well, thinking maybe especially in our church, are we like the supervisors who like to talk about the things that need to be done, but all we're doing is talking about those things? Or are we like those who are holding their shovels, just holding them up and not actually doing any digging into the work that needs to be done? Unfortunately, it's really easy to talk about what the Lord wants us to do, but it's not so easy for us to actually do those things. We can easily allow things like our jobs, our hobbies, Facebook, cell phones, so many other things, even our own families, we can allow them to consume so much time that we never have time for the Lord. Or we could say that, you know, one day we will have that time for the Lord, it's just not now. But usually when people say, someday I'll have that time, that someday never comes. Well, it's important for us to remember that, well, in this life, what God did for us is He gave us His prime time. He gave Himself first to us, we could say. And now let's remember why God gave us life in the first place. It's our time of grace. And that means it's our time, well, to learn about Savior, the Savior, for the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts, to make us believers, build us up, strengthen us in our faith, and then also equip us to be our Savior's servants in this world, going out into the world with the gospel purpose and message. And of course, when you think about it, there really is no other reason for us to be around in this life. That time of grace to learn about the Savior, to grow, to share. That's really the reason why. Everything else is just transitory and doesn't really matter in the long run. Sharing the Savior and, well, sharing the Savior, His love with our family and friends and helping everybody to grow in Christ, that's the reason. So let's faithfully serve the Lord. And let's faithfully serve the Lord as we look at this reading today without complaining, with support for our fellow workers, and let's serve with attention to the Lord's directions and directives. Our reading today begins with the prophet Elijah down in the dumps. And he was really down in the dumps at this time. The story before this is one that I often tell. It's how the prophet Elijah had challenged the prophets of Baal to a contest. And in that contest, well, both Elijah and the prophets of Baal would build an altar, and they'd put a sacrifice on it, and they'd each call out to their god to bring down, to send down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. And, well, both were supposed to do that, and the one that would, if it was the Lord, the one that would send down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, that one would be seen as the true God. Well, Elijah gave the prophets of Baal the hand up on this. He allowed them to take care of their altar, put their sacrifice on it, and then all day long what they were doing is they were calling out, shouting out to Baal, and to catch his attention. They even cut themselves thinking that that would move Baal to finally send down some fire to consume the sacrifice. But of course, since Baal was a figment of their imagination, an idol god, Baal could do nothing. But then finally, after they were done, after Elijah had even taunted the prophets of Baal, he said to them, "Shout louder, surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." But then it was Elijah's turn. And when he prayed to the Lord, immediately the Lord sent down such fire from heaven that it consumed not only the sacrifice, but also the stone altar and the dirt around that altar. It was quite a sign of power. All those who were present at that time hollered out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah was just thrilled. He looked at this situation and he thought, now finally there's going to be a reformation in Israel. The people are going to recognize the Lord, he is God. It's not Baal, but Israel's King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, instead of paying attention to what had happened, they just continued in their blind unbelief and went after Elijah. Instead of leading a reform, Elijah was forced to flee. And just imagine the letdown that Elijah experienced at that point, thinking, oh wow, everything's going to be great, and then everything terrible. Elijah, he had fled out into the desert, and he found a place to hide in a cave. When the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah responded by complaining, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Elijah here maybe seems to be boasting, but really he wasn't. He was just stating the facts. He had been very zealous for the Lord. He had been faithfully preaching the law and the gospel, the law to show people their sins, and then also when he had the opportunity preaching the gospel to tell them about the promise of the Savior. But most of the Israelites rejected that gospel promise and the Lord. See, it's not surprising that Elijah felt all alone. He was fleeing for his life, and well, he didn't know of any others who were on his side or on God's side. But it's interesting that God didn't respond to Elijah's complaint by agreeing with him and saying, "Yeah, all those people, they're a bunch of jerks." Instead, what he did is he told Elijah to get going, to stop complaining, to get back to work. He wanted Elijah to anoint Hazael, king of Aram or Syria. He wanted to anoint Jehu, king of Israel, and then to anoint Elisha as the prophet who would succeed Elijah with the job of preaching the law and the gospel to the Israelite people. And now when we think of those three men that he was to anoint, Hazael, Syria's king, he was to inflict judgment on Israel for the idolatry that was practiced there. And King Jehu, God would use him, the king of Israel, to work on some reform in Israel. And of course, Elisha, he had the job to carry on with Elijah's job of prophet, preaching the law and the gospel to God's, to the Israelite nation, to try to lead them to repentance. Those who rejected that message of Elijah, they would be condemned for their unbelief if they continued in it. That's why God said, Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Elijah had kind of felt as if those people who were rejecting God, that they were getting away with it. But God showed Elijah that they would pay for their sins if they continued in their rejection of God. Well, you can see how Elijah had plenty to complain about. And, well, it's easy to complain about difficulties that we may have in serving the Lord. When we talk about our Savior, we never know how other people are going to react. And in our little church or our campus ministry, there's much work to be done, but that work is usually done by a few people who may feel overworked and even used at times. And we may feel like complaining about such things. But God told Elijah to stop complaining, to get to work. As a believer, Elijah was someone who was so richly blessed by God. And really, that meant that he had no reason to complain. Oh, on a hot summer day, there was a commuter train that was extremely crowded. And many people were standing on that commuter train. And at one station, there was this crippled man who was carried on board. And as the passengers on board moved around and made some room for him to get a seat, there was one person who complained, "We've been standing here for an hour." The invalid looked at the impatient person and said, "You are very fortunate." If we're ever tempted to complain, may God help us to remember how blessed we really are. Sure, we do have our trials and tribulations, and living in a sinful world isn't easy. But we also have Jesus, our Savior. We have the forgiveness of sins, and we have eternal life. When troubles afflict us, let's remember how blessed we are. In Christ, we have really all that we need, and why should we complain? And those troubles that we have, well, remember, part of the reason for those is to get us to think about the blessings that lie ahead so we don't get too attached to this life. Well, Elijah, he complained in our reading that he was the only believer left. And here he was showing a weakness of his own faith. Well, even great believers have times of weakness like that. But God said to him, "I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him." Elijah wasn't alone like he thought he was. There were believers in Israel to whom Elijah could have looked for support, and Elijah could have supported them by preaching the word to them so that the Holy Spirit could work on their hearts and build them and strengthen them in their faith. Calvary, our campus ministry, well, we have many people who have been faithful in serving the Lord, and what they need to do is keep on serving Him. They need to encourage others to also get involved, not just in caring for the church property, although that's something that's very important, but especially to help in the spiritual growth of our church. And one way to do that is by getting more involved in the Sunday school and Bible class opportunities in our church. No, we don't have that many people who are regularly in Sunday school and Bible class, and we need that kind of study in our Bible classes at church and in our personal studies at home to grow. In our services, for example, we get the opportunity to worship God, to hear His Word, to hear preaching from that Word, to receive the sacrament. But one thing that we don't get the opportunity to do in our worship services, that's how they're set up, is we don't get the opportunity to ask questions, to discuss that Word. And you know what we need is that discussion to better understand the Word and to be strengthened in our faith. And you know, when more and more people are involved in Bible class and Sunday school, then we're helping to support one another more. Then we can see that we aren't alone like Elijah thought he was. We have a Christian family that can support us, a Christian family that you and I also can work at doing a better job of supporting as well. Well, after the encouragement here from the Lord, Elijah got busy. He first anointed Elisha to be the prophet who would succeed him. Elijah found Elisha plowing, and the fact that Elisha had 12 yoke of oxen, 12 pair of oxen, tells us that he wasn't a poor man. He was quite wealthy. Elisha was anointed when Elijah took his cloak and put it on him. That meant that he was supposed to take over Elijah's job. Elisha responded to that action, "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will come with you." Elisha ready to succeed Elijah. He was ready to leave his former way of life, and that is evidenced by the fact that he slaughtered all of those oxen and then burned his plowing equipment to cook the meat from that oxen. He was leaving all that behind. He ate one last meal with those with whom he had been working. Then he followed Elijah and served him as he learned the prophetic trade. Elisha's willingness to leave his old life to follow Elijah in the Lord's directives does give us quite an example to follow in our lives. With the Lord's help, what we're going to want to do is work at leaving our sinful lives behind, and then with God's help to follow God's directive, the Lord's directives in our lives. Oh, one evening at a mission station in the Belgian Congo, there was a converted native who prayed, "Lord, you are the needle, and I am the cotton." Missionary heard this, and he asked the convert what it was that he meant. Well, that convert, apparently earlier that day, he had visited the mission school and had watched the girls there who were sewing. And what interested him most was that the thread always followed the needle, and that may seem obvious to you, of course. But yeah, the thread always follows the needle when the needle has been properly threaded. Well, in the same way, he wanted to follow Jesus wherever he led in this life. When Jesus tells you and me, "Follow me," he wants us to follow him so closely at all times in the course of our lives that you and I follow him as directly and dependently as the thread follows the needle, following his directive and not wandering away from him. But now, why will we want to faithfully serve the Lord? Well, because Jesus died for us, because he paid for all of our sins, because through faith in him, he guarantees us heaven. He guarantees us heaven, and he guarantees to anyone to whom the Holy Spirit has given faith, he guarantees heaven for him. That's why we want to serve God, to thank him, to say thank you. And now also Jesus did say with his directive to serve, go and make disciples of all nations. And through our church, we can do that. Our faithful service to the Lord, it promotes growth. And now if all of Calvary congregation, if all of our campus ministry, and if all of our Wisconsin Synod and all believers in general were regularly, faithfully serving and worshiping the Lord and studying his word and reaching out with the gospel, do you realize how much growing in faith and in numbers there would be? God will bless our efforts. And surely we want more and more people to belong to God's believing family. May our Lord always help us to do our part so that we aren't like, oh, the workers who are maybe holding up their shovels instead of digging with them, or the supervisors who are just talking about things. But may God help each of us to do our part, working faithfully so that more and more people can learn of our Savior's grace and mercy and love. Let's faithfully serve our Lord, and let's never forget how much he has done and keeps on doing for us. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let's pray. O God, you have prepared joys beyond understanding for those who love you. Pour into our hearts such love for you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord God, in our prayers, we keep thinking about those in our prayer list with their different trials and troubles and aches and pains. Deb Spitzley dealing with a minor stroke and other issues. Christine Dreese dealing with, well, that severe infection and now especially shoulder troubles. Or Paula Burris, who on the 23rd, on July 23rd, is supposed to be scheduled for some surgery to open up the vessels and veins in her legs. Well, we think about them. We think about all those in our congregation dealing with different trials and troubles and aches and pains. And Lord God, we ask you, if it's your will, please grant healing. But as we always say, please keep on helping all of us to know more and more of your grace and mercy and love. Give each of us that healing of our souls that are troubled by living in a sin-filled world. Build us up, strengthen us in our faith in our Savior Jesus. And Lord God, as we think this week we're going to try a vacation Bible school, please help us in our efforts to serve some of the children in our congregation and maybe reach out to some beyond our congregation. But help us always to get out that message of your grace and your mercy and your love. And we gather up all of the prayers we have today as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today. A reminder, like I said, that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're supposed to have vacation Bible school from 10 to 12 in the morning. Hope bring your children and maybe come and help us out if you possibly can. Let Ruth know if you're able to help on out. Well, apart from our regular schedule in the bulletin, today, Sunday, is Gabriel Purdy's birthday. Monday would be Lyle Johnson's birthday. Wish he was still around here. Jean Grinnell has a birthday on Tuesday. Brian Vanderlei on Thursday. Ashley Wilzinski on Friday. Already told you about some of the people in our congregation with their trials and troubles. Please remember all of your congregation in your prayers, your church family. Support your church family and be supported by your church family. Again, thank you for joining for worship today. The Lord bless and keep you always. Amen.